Hour number two of the Glass in the Morning radio program. News Talk 96.1 AM 1370 and WGCLradio.com. The sunrise is gone. The rain is falling. And this is what the rest of today is going to look like if you poke your nose out the window. So it's not much fun. The radar is very green and very yellow and very orange. What does that mean? That means heavier rain is going to be moving through the area, and that's not surprising. Chance of rain today was 100%. Here we go. High of 50. When are we going to get there? That'll be the next question for us. Rain runs out of gas later in the afternoon. Tonight, down to 30. Geez, I hope this doesn't glaze over. I don't think it'll be cold enough to do so. 43 on Thursday, 30 on Thursday night, 50-50 on Friday, 50 degrees, 50% chance of rain, 100% chance on Saturday, the final home football game for Indiana. Rutgers comes to town. Senior Day, the Rose Bowl team of 1967. Big Ten champs will be recognized as well. And then get this, a high of only 36 on Sunday for IU men's NCAA soccer. They play either Old Dominion or North Carolina State. I don't think those teams coming up from Tobacco Road will enjoy perhaps a 36-degree game time temperature. That's why you want home field advantage, and the Hoosiers have it throughout the NCAA tournament before the Final Four in Philadelphia. Fingers crossed they make it to that next stop. There's Margaret Fetty.
Good morning.
And the rain's coming down. Make sure you have a jacket, umbrella. Kids have all that going to the bus stop today or wherever you might be going as well. Good job getting those pictures in. You can see them on our Facebook page at the Sunrise. Two of them, WGCL Radio, because you'll probably need them throughout the day because look outside, Margaret. That's what the rest of the day is going to look like. So we did bring some sunshine into your life. We had to hurry and get those up. You can take a look at all of those. And you can take a look at the extended forecast. You want to see what's happening on Thanksgiving? Do you? Huh? It's 8 days from today. That sounds so weird to say. Next Thursday, Thanksgiving. The forecast, as you know, changes just about every day we give it to you. 42 and 28, just a 10% chance of precipitation. Remember, yesterday we were talking about snow flurries. Well, that's gone away. So the models change, and that's what it is. So, you can basically use outside as a refrigerator. So if you don't have enough space, that's the good news. You don't want it much more than 40. You don't want to do that. But there you go. So follow along with us. Updated forecast and live radar. Find it all at WGCLradio.com. It's Wednesday morning. We always check in with county government. Marty Hawk, the county councilwoman, is our guest. Marty, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Well, I'm just a bit jealous. You were able to see that sunrise just beautifully from where you are.
That's right.
And I kept sticking my head out there. The tree sort of blocked my view.
But that's why we posted the pictures for you, Marty.
And I will look for certain.
Please do. And that's what we've captured them in time. And, again, with the day that's going to be gloomy and gray, you can go back and look at that. At least how we got off to a very, very good start. How did the start you guys got off to with the public safety income tax budget and the dispatch center did not get off to a great start, but it looks like you finally churned out the numbers and got the numbers you needed. And here we are. The county has okayed the funding for it, at least reports the Herald Times today in their front page section.
Well, it's really sort of questionable about voting on a budget after the deadline for voting on budgets has passed. So I suppose it's just sort of an interlocal thing saying, okay, but it will mean nothing, I would not think, to the state because we're past the deadline for having done that. But the county's portion as well from that 911 fund, which is an entirely different fund rather than the public safety fund, which we put dollars in that for salaries. Well, now it appears that rather than doing that, they'll want it for the dollars to go to the radio, so we can't even vote to change that until the first of the year, because once the deadline for voting on next year's budgets has passed, then you can't do anything with those budgets until next year. So we'll still have to look at it again, but last night we agreed that's what we were going to do. So, whether it says that or not, that's what we've agreed to. And what they have said was they want to do the radios, rather than doing them in 2 years, it appears that what they really want to do is get them all on board for next year. And if we're going to pay for it, may as well start using them and get them ready. I did talk with some of the fire departments in my district and some of the trustees, and they had indicated that while they would have liked to have had money for part of their operational cost, if they couldn't get that, then they wanted me to support this, and so I did. Because, once again, my vote's not what I personally want, but what the people want that I represent. So that's what we did with that. Yes, Margaret.
Marty, the story goes on to say that it looks like they're going to be increasing their budget again for next year. When does the bleeding stop at the dispatch center? When do we stop? You know, when do we get to some sort of number that they can actually function on and stop? Just like it just seems to go up exponentially every single year.
Well, and I asked the question. I said, once you have these radios purchased, then should we see a reduction in the amount you're going to be getting from that public safety tax? And the answer really seemed to me that they were saying, yes, we'll see a reduction. I hope we'll see a major reduction in the amount of what they're talking about that they wanted for these radios. Then they won't be buying those every year. So hopefully we'll see that reduction, and that money will come back for other uses for public safety tax. Does not mean that they'll reduce the tax to the citizens.
Of course not.
The way it will be distributed
shifted
will be different, mm-hmm. and perhaps county will get a bit more. But that still remains to be seen, because we don't have the defining vote on that. That is still up to the city. So we sort of end up getting what we get. But I did hear you speak about the JAG grant yesterday with...
on Monday with Captain Kellums.
Oh, yes, so on Monday. And so that is, I want to just say that our portion, we did agree to that interlocal agreement, and that's a justice assistant grant. And that is not a local grant. That's it's a national... It's the Edward Byrne Memorial Justice Assistance Grant, and it's there to help. It's a major source of funding from the federal justice funding for state and local jurisdictions. So that helps us in some ways. Our Sheriff Swain is planning on purchasing some tire deflation devices with the portion that we'll be getting. So... then the rest of the meeting, there was just a lot of movement of dollars around. You know, when you have budgets and you have your departments looking at what money they have left and at what portion of their budget, and they're going, well, I don't really need it there, but I could use it here in the other portion. So we had a lot of movement of dollars around for that. And then we also had... a new line item for something that we all appreciate, and that's the money for the blacktop, the bituminous that we buy, and we get assistance from that community crossing grant to do that. And I would tell you, we're seeing the result of that additional dollars throughout the county. We feel like we're sort of living in a house that's being remodeled with all of the road work that's going on. But boy, if this ever gets finished up, we're going to be in a lot better shape. That'll be really, really nice. We did see here from our airport director that they're going to be going forward with a preliminary design to get the runway reconstructed. And we're hoping that reconstruction will actually even happen in 2018. He does such a good job of getting money from the federal government and state government so that our local match was only $3,300. So that's, I mean, we just have some really great department heads that go out there and make sure that every dollar we spend, we're getting in a lot more from the state or federal government to help with that. But we also had, from the prosecutor's office, we had a victim of, it's called the VOCA grant, the Victim of Crimes Assistance Grant. And that one, see, that's a lot of money. That's $53,000. So that helps pay for part of the salaries there.
Are these grants guaranteed to come through every year, or do you just hope they come through every year?
Oh, I mean, we have to apply for them, and that's the reason why our people have to be so trained and experienced in applying for all these grants, and then we either get it or we don't. And some of the grants are not as great as they once were. So we do rely so heavily on those grants in order to just operate, and especially in the justice system. So that's always a worry about if the grants just go away, or if we have a changeover in department heads and suddenly you have someone that's not well-versed in how to write those grants, we could just really be in big trouble. So, and we did get a grant then from the health department. We had some dollars coming in there for that health department. So
is this why annually you have to, this is why the budget process takes so long annually, because not all these things are always on the table, right?
And you don't even know exactly what they are going to be until they materialize.
And then what they do is if it's getting toward the end of their grant period and they have dollars left over, they'll come and ask for additional approval to move those dollars around, to make sure that they are really making best use of all of those dollars and that they don't lose any of them. It's one of those things you either use it or you have to send it back. So if you have a really good department head, they're looking at it and making sure that they're not losing any of those grant funds. But, you know, I know it seems as though I always have so many bad things to
That's
say.
That's exactly right.
Today I wanted to share some good news, that we do have some really great department heads doing some great jobs. I will also say that the council voted last night to give some of the elected officials a raise in addition to the raise that was already put in place when we did our salary ordinance.
Double raise?
It was a double raise. Everybody got $750, but the...
$750 what? Dollars?
$750. That was what, that's what, you know, all
was
of
that
the...
Was that $2 a day
everybody
raise?
Everybody else got. But there was a determination by the council. I'm the only one that didn't vote for it, but the commissioners got an additional $750 on top of the $750. That they were granted before. Now, and that may very well be what would be an appropriate raise. That's $1,500, in my opinion. If that was to be the case and the decision, then that should have been discussed and debated during all those budget work sessions that we worked on all of the other salaries and budgets. And the time for voting on that salary ordinance, we already voted on the 2018 salary ordinance. Now, it can be amended clear up until the end of the year for the elected officials. You have to have it done in 2017 to change any salaries for 2018 if it's an elected official. So that's the reason why they wanted to go ahead and get it done, because they couldn't do it next year. But in my opinion, if they wanted to do it, they should have put it in with the rest, in the same pot of money,
sure,
same vote when we voted on everybody else's. So I'm not
saying
there
was
anything.
They care about that, Marty? I mean, you know, they don't care about anything else. So I don't know why they went behind your backs to go and get the parking garage put up. So why not do it this way?
Well, I get it. They weren't there to say, yes, we want our raise, or no, we don't want our raise. Of course, they want the raise. Why wouldn't they? And there was a study done that they looked at it and believed the people looking at those numbers that raise was appropriate. I know that I questioned about, because the elected officials all get that perf, and their portion is paid for by the county, that we should take that into consideration, and so adjustments for that was made, which I appreciate.
Where are we on the West Side trash thing? Where are we with the Indiana Green stuff, the stuff we've been talking about there? Where
right.
are we with...
I saw that Shelley Yoder stepped down from that.
Right. For whatever reason, the newspaper doesn't seem to want to even put in the paper that Shelley Yoder is no longer... she has resigned from this having to do with the West Side trash. But the people there meet and are very energized to try to do something about it. They asked me to attend their last meeting, which I did on Veterans Day. They have some real valid concerns. Now, because one of the things we voted on last night was that $200,000 for the planning department to move forward with the doing the rewrite of the ordinances and so forth for the zoning. I don't know whether that'll help or not, but these folks, they have really, they're doing their homework. They're getting the signs out and getting people energized about it. Now, everybody knows you have to put your trash someplace, but there is an ordinance, a local ordinance, that says that we have to prove a need for this. So is there really a need for another transfer facility? And many of us believe that's not the case. I mean, the transfer facility that is in place now, it's not owned by the county, but neither would this one be owned by the county. And they bring in trash from several counties. This one actually also has been said that the trash would come in from several counties. It's not just for the west side of Monroe County. This trash will be coming in from several counties. And
it's where the trash lands. It's not where it comes from, right?
I beg your pardon?
It's where the trash is going to be stored, kept, and sorted out, not where it comes from. That's not the issue, is it?
Where it comes from should be an issue if you're worried about the traffic in front of your house.
Sure. Well, yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah,
but
great big trucks coming in, and what roads will they be using? And, of course, Hart Street Road, one would think that they would be planning on using that, and that's just not an appropriate road. It's windy. It's not as wide. There's some hills and dales there. And then when they, if you're leaving Vernal, at the corner of Vernal and Hart Street and heading to Terre Haute with it, that's where they say it's going to go, all this trash, then they would have to make a turn on that bridge that goes from Hart Street over to 46. And I don't know how it can make that turn, those great big trucks.
Well, we'll build a new bridge. We'll build a new interstate for it to make sure it works out. What is the next step in this? Is this going to be who needs to approve this, not approve this? Is there a timeline? Where are we at with this?
Right. The state did reply to an email just the first of this week and said, yes, they would be willing to meet with some of the local citizens who are concerned, but that at this point, the information has not all been turned in. It's still incomplete. And the comment period time will not start until after such time. So they're saying, according to their email, saying it is possible the application could be rejected as incomplete. So they wanted to wait for a meeting until they had the information for the technical review before they would start, that would start before having the meeting, so that nobody's wasting their time on this, but they are still waiting on more information. But they're supposed to notify these folks, Mr. Bob Shaw and Mr. Spicer, who's very concerned about it happening near their Mr. Spicer's home, but Mr. Shaw's property where he has leased some of these buildings, where people are concerned about whether they'll be able to continue to operate their companies there. We have someone who came to speak to us last night who has a farming operation there that's all very environmentally friendly, and he is on well water, so he's concerned as well. And there's just a lot of real angst about this, a lot of it because of the way it happened as well, because people felt like it was such a shock to them. I spoke just a bit with Lee Jones last night, another county council member, and she lives over in on the west side, and she had been out of town, and she said it was a shock to her. She absolutely knew nothing about it. So these are things that it causes the public to question their elected officials when things happen that we should have known about, that information had gone out to some of the elected officials.
It was selectedly. It selectedly went out. It didn't go out. It was.
I beg your pardon?
It didn't go to everybody, so that's not
oh, right,
that's not
right,
being released.
Right.
That's done for a reason that way, because it doesn't look very transparent.
IDEM sent that letter out to the Solid Waste District and sent it to the Monroe County Commissioners, and sent it to the Health Department, and to the mayor. So, you know, we did not send it to the County Council. I'm not saying that they should have. I'm just saying the others knew it, but did not say anything. Now,
well, and why didn't the commissioner share it with the council?
Well, that's a good question, and one that I have asked, and many of them, or they just seem to think they didn't get it or didn't see it.
There's an electronic footprint that will either say that's true or not true, so they can answer
right
to that on their own time. But
right,
again, the point is, you've just mentioned a handful of people who decided not to share it. It wasn't one person or one group. There was multiple people that received it. I guess they just didn't think it was important. So transparency is only transparent when it needs to be transparent for those who benefit from the transparency, it sounds like.
Well, one would just think there must be some reason. I understand there was a conversation by some on the plan commission to the planning department. Hey, you've got to handle this real delicately because this is, you know, an elected
now you know
official
why
doing this.
Well, there you go. I won't even ask you about the where we are in the convention center and food and beverage tax and what the council is going to do for that timeline, because we're out of time today. So next week,
if you would have the time,
well,
for
it's right
us
before
next
Thanksgiving.
Week.
Let's just put that in the back drawer for.
No,
we'll save that for
I'm
a couple
sure
months.
I'm sure, Marty, you could figure out what the timeline for that is next week.
Well,
because so
then we
know
have Christmas after
to,
that, and then we've got
right,
Valentine's Day after
be,
that.
If they ever get the information, if they share it with me, they didn't last time, but if they share it with me, we're supposed to have this information that we'll discuss with the public on the 28th of this month.
Okay, that's Tuesday. That's 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks. But
we don't have the information yet, but we're supposed to have it right before Thanksgiving.
Okay.
And so I'll get to spend my Thanksgiving holiday looking at legal documents.
But we will talk to you the day before Thanksgiving next Wednesday and see if you have those.
I might have it by then.
Well,
yes.
Might is the key word there. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. We don't know. Well, that's why we'll tune in next Wednesday morning just after 8:05. Thank you for your time as always.
Okay, thank you.
Have a great day, Marty.
Marty Hawk, County Councilwoman. She checks in with us every Wednesday morning to bring you perhaps some information you can't gather anywhere else.